Hello everyone, my name is Del, and I would like to say a very big thank you to everyone who tuned into our very first podcast, which is available right now on Spotify. Secondly, I would like to thank the members who participated in our very first podcast. The other members will be joining soon, don't you worry about that. And we will all be doing different segments for our podcast on artificial exposure. Each member will be doing their own segment or teaming up and doing a segment for the podcast. Since we all can't be together to post our series, we decided that we would do something that would be more fun for all of us while we get ready to make our first videos, which won't be for a while since we all need to practice social distancing. And during this outbreak, I would like to encourage everyone to practice social distancing and help flatten the curve so that we can all get back to our daily lives and have fun. Finally, I would like to promote our YouTube channel, Artificial Exposure, so please subscribe for when we do upload after quarantine is over. Now that that's out the way, I would like to introduce my very own segment I would like to call Scary Stories with Doe. It's a segment where I read 5 different horror stories and give my own commentary. If you all would enjoy that, please stay tuned. And if not, well, our other members who have posted as of right now and or will be posting in the near future will also be doing other segments that you may or may not be into. So thank you again, and let's get into this. This story is called "I Hate It When My Brother Charlie Has to Go Away" by Horror in Pure Form. I hate it when my brother Charlie has to go away. My parents constantly try to explain to me how sick he is, that I'm lucky for having a brain where all the chemicals flow properly to their destinations like undammed rivers. When I complain about how bored I am without a little brother to play with, they try to make me feel bad by pointing out that his boredom likely far surpasses mine, considering his confined to a dark room in an institution. I always beg for them to give him one last chance. Of course they did at first. Charlie has been back home several times, each shorter in duration than the last. Every time without fail, it all starts again. The neighborhood cats with gouged out eyes showing up in his toy chest. My dad's razors found dropped in the baby slide at the park across the street. Mom's vitamins replaced with bits of dishwasher tablets. My parents are hesitant now, using last chances sparingly. They say his disorder makes him charming, makes it easy for him to fake normalcy, and to trick the doctors who care for him into thinking he's ready for rehabilitation. That I was just gonna have to put up with my boredom if it means staying safe from him. I hate it when my brother Charlie has to go away. It makes me have to pretend to be good until he gets back. My daughter learned to count by Real Science 87. My daughter woke me up around 4:50 last night. My wife and I had picked her up from her friend Sally's birthday party, brought her home, and put her to bed. My wife went to the bathroom to read while I fell asleep watching the Braves game. "Daddy," she whispered, tugging my shirt sleeve. "Guess how old I'm gonna be next month." "I don't know, beautiful," I said, slipping on my glasses. "How old?" She smiled and held up 4 fingers. "It's 7:30 now. My wife and I have been up for almost 8 hours." She still refuses to tell us where she got them. The happiest day of my life. by Reclutus. I watched as my soon-to-be father-in-law held his daughter's hand as he walked down the aisle. Tears streamed down his face as the wedding march played in the background, reminded him that in a few minutes, he'll be watching me hold his daughter's hand and slipping on her ring. He walked down the altar and I took a hold of her hand, grinning from ear to ear. This was the happiest day of my life. My bride's father got down on his knees and started begging. Please, I did what you asked. Just please give me my daughter back. I glared at him. Shut up and stop ruining the moment. If you sit back down and enjoy the ceremony, maybe I'll tell you where I've hidden the rest of your daughter's body. My Favorite Support Group by I Post at Midnight. Look, I'll be the first to admit, I'm a bastard. I'm also lazy. I'm only here to find the idiot because there's almost always an idiot. This support group is pretty typical. We connected online, decided on a quiet place, and now we're all sitting cross-legged in a circle, real kumbaya shit. Jerome takes the lead, pouring everyone a cup of tea as he starts talking. I'm Jerome. You can drink your tea, but only after you explain why you're here. I'll start. Jerome tells us that he's never been loved. I can see why. The guy's ugly as sin. He sips his tea while the mousy chick speaks up. Miu, she says. My parents. Short and sweet. No blubbering. Gotta admire Miu. She's probably not the idiot. Next to talk is a legless veteran, a broken businessman, a needle tack junkie, and a diseased old crone. Then it's my turn. I'm an ass. Everyone hates me. I take a loud, annoying slurp of my oolong as the fat kid with a black eye goes next, telling his boring fat kid sob story. Afterwards, we all quietly sit while Jerome kneels over. Then Miu's eyes roll in the back as she slumps forward. Only the fat kid reacts. What is happening? He whines. I thought this was a suicide support group. Found the idiot. It is, I say, spitting out my mouthful of tea. They support it. No one wants to die alone, kid. Oh, how ghost white he turns. Looking into his cup, I love it. These suicide meetups are a sadist dream, and I never have to lift a finger. I told you, I'm a lazy bastard. Seeing Red, The First Day of School by Zenry Howe. Everyone loves the first day of school, right? New year, new classes, new friends. It's a day full of potential and hope before the dreary depressions of reality show up and ruin all the fun. I like the first day of school for a different reason, though. You see, I have a sort of power. When I look at people, I can sense a sort of aura around them. A colored outline based on how long that person has left to live. Most people I meet around my age are surrounded by a solid green hue, which means they have plenty of time left. A fair amount of them have a yellow-orangish tinge to their aura, which tends to mean a car crash or some other tragedy. Anything that takes people before their time, as they say. The real fun is when the aura ventures into the red end of the spectrum, though. Every now and again, I'll see someone who's basically a walking stoplight. Those are the people who get murdered or kill themselves. It's such a rush to see them and know their time is numbered. With that in mind, I always get to class very early so I can scout out all my classmates' fate. The first kid to walk in is basically radiating red. I chuckle to myself, too damn bad, bro. But as people kept walking in, they all had the same intense glow. I finally caught a glimpse of my rose-tinted reflection in the window, but I was too stunned to move. Our professor stepped in and locked the door. His aura is a sickened shade of green. By I Post at Midnight. Bonus story. Little Emily vanished last year. now they're pouring new sidewalk in my neighborhood, and I found her name in the wet cement, written in remembrance, but it's written in reverse and from below. Hello guys, this is Del, and this has been Scary Stories with Del. I filmed each story about a million times before I got a take that I really enjoyed. Some of these may not be perfect, but that's fine by me. But I'm going to get into my thoughts on the stories that we read today. My favorite story out of all the ones that we read were Seeing Red. I love the idea of someone who has supernatural powers and can tell when someone's about to die. And I loved the plot twist behind this. So the narrator talks about, how he loves seeing when people are going to be like brutally murdered. And then the shocking realization is that his aura is red. And their teacher is most likely going to murder them. And I'm just like curious, how does a teacher murder them? I thought that this would be like, a great premise for like a horror movie. Like expanding on it would, with the right people who can expand on it, obviously, to make it into a movie script. But then again, this hasn't worked out with like a lot of movies, like Lights Out, when it was based off that one short where this person kept turning on and off the lights and like a shadow kept appearing and getting closer, but when they turned on the lights, there's nothing there. I thought, oh wow, that was pretty unique, but the movie kind of sucked. I remember seeing that with my mama and grandma, and we were the only ones in the theater. It had probably been out for quite a while, and so everyone had seen it, and plus we were there really early, so like there was barely anyone there. Well, it wasn't even barely anyone there, it was completely empty. But I thought, oh wow, this story kind of sucks. And then I saw the short and I was like, oh, that movie was based off this short? Wow, that's actually quite disheartening. But again, in the right hands, I think the story could make a great movie. I also love the story Emily backwards, Yamela or something like that. I'm not good at speaking backwards, I'm sorry about that. But I liked how it was just like a two-sentence horror story. Well, it was three sentences, but still. It was like really shocking and like kind of scary. And it's like, oh, that means she's underground, like writing her name. Or someone who's just like very stupid wrote it backwards to try to do it as a prank. You know, that's up for interpretation. And I think I would have to say my least favorite story is the one about the man walking down, The one that I liked the least was The Happiest Day of My Life. I don't know, I just didn't like that one. It was like kind of obvious. I'm pretty sure most of these were pretty freaking obvious, but like, I didn't like that one. But, you know, hopefully maybe you guys will like it. So, thanks for tuning in, and please come back again for the next time I do Storytime with Del. Alright, bye!